This is the first week of Advent, and our reading today is on hope. People hope for many things. We hope for the desires of our hearts, for higher positions in life, and for the best for the future. Many of these hopes are practical. These hopes will bring about more opportunities and better circumstances. Yet Christians share a deeper hope, a hope that touches the deepest longings of the human soul.
Theologically, we hope for redemption. We know the world around us is not at its best. Between the evils of the world and the sorrows of life, there is something within us that hopes for something truer, purer, something with sheer goodness. We all hope for the abundant life.
Today marks the first week of Advent, a season recognized by the church around the world as a time to prepare our hearts and lives to welcome the coming of Jesus Christ at Christmas. We track this season by engaging in several rhythms, one of them being to light candles, one for each week leading up to Christmas Day. Today we light the first candle, traditionally called the Candle of Hope. With this candle, we symbolize the hope we have through Christ. Hope for redemption, hope for light in the darkness of this world, hope for heaven to touch earth and meet us in the midst of our mess and brokenness.
The church discusses John the Baptist during Advent as a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This herald of hope points to the majesty, honor, and kingship of Christ. Make way for the true King in your hearts. Clear the path. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Yet not only this, but we are also beckoned to cast our hope upon Christ as life-giver, sustainer, provider, and agent of transformation. Amen. Put your hope in Christ again today.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for the hope you brought to us at Christmas. Shine your hope in us, in our homes, in our communities, and around the world. When all seems hopeless, Holy Spirit, teach us to hope in Christ. Amen.
Well, with that said, you're dismissed. What greater hope do we have but the love of Christ, right? And to know that this season is a sense of recognizing the coming, Advent, recognizing the coming of Christ to our lives, to prepare our hearts for Jesus coming, recognizing then he is not only just coming, but that he is here. Today marks the beginning of Advent. As I said, it's a tradition where we see and recognize and prepare for Jesus coming, but also the celebration that he is here. Not only is Jesus here, but he is living up with us and inviting us into a daily walk with him, a daily relationship that pours into us the love that fills our souls to the depth. Our hope as Christians should be in Jesus. As we read a minute ago, the world tends to hope in so many different things to satisfy our physical needs. But when we as Christians, we know that there's a deeper longing that we are seeking that comes only from God. Jesus, who is the long-awaited Messiah for the Jews, came as an example of what it means to live a life full of love and deep relationship with God. The life of Jesus presents us with the climax of God's incredible loving pursuit of humanity. Through all that is accomplished through Jesus' life, Jesus opened the door to a deep relationship with God. He has given us hope. Hope that plants the seed of peace. Peace, as it grows, creates a joy in our hearts. And that joy sprouts out and manifests itself as love to our world around us, all shining the light of Christ. Over the next 4 weeks, we're covering those five themes, but the four are hope, peace, joy, and love. And then finally, light for Christmas, when we celebrate the coming of Christ with us. Today's series is The Weary World Rejoices. How many of us are weary? So many different reasons for this year. But as we approach this season, I'm reminded of many years leading up to this. The Christmas season is an intense, weary time. Why? Because organizations and businesses try and get as much of your attention as they can for the last final weeks of the year, final days, to try and get you to connect with them on some level. And aside from that, this year, as we know, has been nothing short of crazy. From a sickness that is running wild through the world, causing deep-rooted feelings to explode out of us as lockdowns cause us to fear for our crumbling stability. Any stability that we thought we might have had before this year seems to be slipping away. Throughout the year, people have grasped for hope from society and systems that are beginning to strain under the weight, and it is not a weight that it was designed to uphold. In fear and anger, people violently react, only to bring greater division and confusion as we struggle to find the next solution that undoubtedly will fail somebody. Are you weary yet? The reality is that we are all seeking and searching for something deep, something to give us a reason to rejoice, to be excited, to stand up in the next day, something constant that we can't count on, being there when everything else is stripped away. Something that gives life and keeps us afloat, at least for another day. For many, they think they will find it in the perfect political or social systems, or in a substance, or in food, or in warmth. Whatever this world has to offer, people will reach out and try and grab it and say, "This is what I'm looking for." And that they realize that there's something lacking. But as Christians, we should know that all kingdoms fade, all kingdoms fall. And what makes me rejoice is the fact that kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but the love of God still remains. Amen. So why do I lean so heavily on the love of God? It's something for me that I have been blessed with through my life. Is this Christmas season speaks so loudly to me because growing up, it has been less about what we get, what we can give, but what is given to us as from Christ and the excitement that comes out of that. That it was displayed to me through in my life growing up as we celebrated the holidays. My family would gather together with not just us, not just my immediate family, but many people we'd invite into our home for Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving dinner, or a time of celebration. And then as I began to get older and then eventually move away to college, like, I didn't get the same experience every year for Thanksgiving and Christmas because I wasn't home. And I didn't... It wasn't the same, and I began to long and hope for that sense again. And I began to realize that those memories, as great as they are and as special as they are to me, that there was a deeper reasoning behind them that made them so special. For me, it was my parents displaying an incredible love of God for the world around them, and the body of Christ that surrounded them. For many of those that we invited did not have other family around, or they were small family with not a lot of extended families around them. And so it became a reason to reach out beyond just our own four walls to love others and to provide a hope and a spark and a longing for them as well. So we talk about hope. Intuitively, we all kind of know what that is, but I went ahead and looked it up. And it is essentially a feeling that we will be receiving something or getting something, either physical or emotional. An emotional example of that is like, I hope the Seahawks will win the Super Bowl this year. Honestly, I don't care, but I know many of you do. And it is a big hope for a lot of our culture to either that their sports team will win the championship and that they can brag about it for the next year, or that we will get that special gift that we want, that Ferrari or Lamborghini, or ultimately that we just have a warm place to eat our food, a roof over our head. Now we talk about hope and we wonder, why is this a part of the season and of preparing for Jesus? Well, when we look about the coming of Jesus, as Israel were seeking out for the Messiah, when Isaiah penned his prophecies, Israel had been under occupation and foreign rule for well over 400 years. And as I think about that, that's a number I can't really comprehend, considering that it has not even been 400 years since the Americas were discovered by the Northern Europeans. So America itself has not been around as a country for near that long. Not anywhere close. And it just kind of baffles my mind a little bit to think of that time span of that time of a pent up longing passed from one generation to the next, saying, we will be set free. We will have hope. We have a hope to keep longing for. And yet they were weary. They were tired. But God kept promising them. He told them through Isaiah, he says, comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins. Before we get carried away in the thought that God doubled their punishment, many of the scholars that I looked at said they speculate that it was actually because they were under two different kingdom rules in their exile. That's why it says twice over and not necessarily double their punishment. But they had paid for their punishment through their exile. And it was paid up. And it says, listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make straight a highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. He spoke of the hope for the people, saying that their sins had been pardoned, having spent their time in exile. And he prophesied who we know of as John the Baptist. So again, I say from the words of Isaiah, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. So in thinking of this, I'm like, okay, what does that mean for us today? To smooth out the rough places, to fill in the valleys and lower the mountains and hills and create a path for God into our lives. My first thought was as a kid cleaning their bedroom because there's not a straight path to their bed. another thought is when we have foreign dignitaries or even our own high high dignitaries, the president coming to visit a city. We create, as a city, the easiest, safest path for him or her to go. So that way, as they come, that they are celebrated. So what is it that we can do to prepare our hearts for God coming into our lives to pour into us his love? As Larissa mentioned earlier about the videos, let us make this Advent season a time to open our hearts to God's love. Every morning, Monday through Saturday at 7 o'clock a.m., we are going to be posting a video, one of the pastoral staff each day. These videos, no longer than 5 minutes, will be a chance for us to sit and reflect on what God has for us for the day. A chance for us to invite God into our lives for the day in just a short little bit. Each day will have a different emphasis. So tomorrow, I will be introducing a video, and the emphasis will be a vacancy to create space to share the love of God and to accept the love of God. And creating space in our lives to put something aside, that is Advent conspiracy in a sense of itself as well. The point of that being to create space in our finances, in our time, in our efforts, or is to spread the love of God to another. In this time as well, we want to prepare our hearts. The devotional times each day will be a big part for that. Creating space to give is the next part. And to prepare our hearts to give hospitably. In the era of COVID, it's not as to be hospitable as to open your house. But there's ways of being hospitable and loving the body of Christ that doesn't necessarily mean gathering physically together, as we are in a pandemic that we're encouraged to stay apart. As much as we're allowed to be together, we do that. But going back earlier this year, we learned a couple things of how to stay connected, how to share the love of God with a brother and sister. Pick up the phone, give them a call, write them a letter, handwritten, does incredible things. I got a thank you letter this past week from my grandparents who are getting up there in years, and handwritten, as my grandma always does. And there's something about receiving a handwritten letter and sharing that with another person that is incredibly special. So I encourage you to do that. And if you don't want to call, or if you don't want to pick up the phone and take an hour talking to somebody, maybe offer to bring them a pizza or food. And just to say, I love you, I care about you, and this world needs more love in it. Not just any love, but the love of God. Yes. I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Because we are the body of Christ, and the unit is stronger connected. So beginning in verse 11, we say, now these gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. How do we know we'll be mature in the Lord? We will be measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. In September, I preached on politics, but it's how to approach politics with others we disagree with. And one of the things we learned about that we all should agree on as Christians is that we need to live up to the standard of Christ, the law of Christ. Now I'm going to ask, does anybody remember what that law was? To love. But not just to love, but to love as Christ loved us. So if we all love as Christ loved us, what will happen. Continuing on in verse 14, we read, "Then we will no longer be immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy, growing and full of love." So when we think about our physical bodies and how they are intricately woven together, how each part communicates with another, I just lift up my hand and I just move my finger from the tip of my finger all the way down to my wrist. There are multiple parts connected, communicating together, making each other stronger just by moving together. In the same way as Christ pours out love in your life, he wants us to connect, to be stronger together. And how do we do that if we're not connecting and sharing the love of God with each other? Not just on Sunday morning, but every day through the week. On the night that Jesus gave us the law to love each other as he loved us, he sat with his disciples and broke the elements. He broke the bread and passed the cup, asking them to remember him. Now, each day this week, we, like I said, we're going to have a different theme for the day or different posture of the heart that we're seeking to get to take on. For today, we are in a season of winter, and I want to take the activity of pause. Today, I want us to pause. Winter, our days are shorter and darker. Oftentimes, darkness has a way of focusing our attention. Even when we don't have any light and we just decide to light a candle, that candle focuses all our attention on where it lights up. It helps us eliminate a lot of the distraction and the noise in our lives. So for a moment, I want you to just close your eyes and invite Christ in to this moment. Allow everything to go dark, but allow the light of Christ to shine on you. Allow him to pour forth his grace in your life, to know that he wants to love you. He wants to be in a deep relationship with you. Imagine him breaking the bread before you. And he says, "Take this and eat in remembrance of me." Then he takes a cup and he lifts it out to you and he says, "Take this. This is my blood, which was shed for you. Drink it in remembrance of me." God, this season, as we anticipate your coming and wait in the hope of your love coming in our lives, I pray that you would walk with us and remind us daily of what it means to be loved by you. And I pray as we remember what it means, that we also grow excited and want to share that with another. Take a moment to just continue to reflect, to pause and understand that God is wanting to be in deep relationship with you, that he is here with you today. Wherever you are, he is there.